The following is a lecture given at an afternoon home program by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 31st, 2006, in Melbourne, Australia.
So, we try to follow the rules and regulations. So, when we came into the building today, at the entrance way, we saw a sign that you should be very considerate of the neighbors, whatever, for the noise level. So I was thinking that all the neighbors here, they are going down to the animal kingdom. So the way to be considerate of the neighbors is to have nice loud kirtan. So they will all be benefited by the appropriate noise level. So it is very nice. Actually, we could hear your kirtan all the way from the street. As soon as we got out of the car, I immediately knew this is the place, because the place was vibrating with kirtan. So, the whole world is presently in a suffering condition. They are lacking this one thing. They have everything else. What is lacking in the modern day society? They have all facility: radio, television, internet, air conditioning, fans, heating, automobiles, so many varieties of foodstuffs, so many varieties of clothing and architecture and entertainments, and so many varieties of advancement in every field of knowledge. But one thing is missing. There's one thing that is missing: Krishna consciousness. If you've ever baked a cake, listen. You can put all the ingredients. You can put the flour, you can put the sugar, you can put the shortening, you know, the oil, vanilla, so many things you can put. But if you leave out the baking powder, your cake will be a failure. You must put the baking powder. It's a very small little amount. It's a little tiny bit. But that baking powder will make or break your cake. So we are leaving out the most essential ingredient in our modern day society. We are leaving out the most essential ingredient. We have every other ingredient. We have the flour, we have the sugar, we have the vanilla. We have every ingredient very nicely. But we are leaving out the baking powder. We have a nice oven. We have a nice baking pan. We have everything. But we are leaving out the Krishna consciousness. We have come through 8,400,000 species of life. Jalaja Navalakshani Stavara Lakshavinshati Krimaya Rudra Sankhyaka Pakshinam Dashalakshanam Trinksha Lakshani Pashavaha Chatur Lakshani Manashaha. In the Vishnu Purana, it is clearly stated how many species there are. The scientists are still trying to figure it out. They haven't even come close yet, those rascals, to understanding how many species there are. We Vedic scientists have known for thousands of years how many species there are. It will be thousands of years before they ever figure it out, you see. So, if you want to be on the cutting edge of science, you simply must read carefully Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Then you will be on the cutting edge of science. These so-called scientists are very proud. They think they know everything. But I have practical experience. What fools they are. there was one big, big scientist who came to the University of Florida back in the 70s. At that time, I was in the Brahmachari Ashram. So I went to the learned scientist's presentation. There was about 3,000 students there to hear his presentation. He was enlightening us about the black holes in outer space. I came to observe the black holes in the brains of the scientists, actually. But he came to expose the black holes in outer space. So anyway, after he gave his exposé of the black holes, then I decided that I would see if I could do my exposé of the black hole in his head. So I asked a question. I said, is what you're saying a theory or is it a fact? And he said, I think it's a fact. Note the word, I think. So somebody else got a question in, another couple of questions came. Then again I raised my hand. I said, throughout the history of modern science, we have seen that one theory becomes popular for some time, and then is replaced by another theory. So he had, remember, he had just said it was not a theory, it was a fact, but now I'm immediately giving him a loaded question. I said, how do we know that your theory will not be replaced by another theory? Now, he could have turned around and said, but I just told you it's not a theory, it's a fact, so why are you asking this question? No, he didn't say that. He said, I hope it is, because then we will be making progress. So the rascal just said it was a fact, and now he said it's a theory that will be defeated in the future. And when it is defeated, that will be the progressive march of science. And he's calling it a fact. Now, you are intelligent men and women. You are highly educated. You are the cream of the crop. Only the most highly educated, intelligent are allowed to come here to Australia from India. So you use your brain to understand how they can say it's a fact and then immediately admit when it is defeated, it will be progress. What is that progress? They're simply replacing one illusion with another illusion, and it never stops. They never come to the point, you see. In Sanskrit language, that is called Vedanta, the conclusion of knowledge. They never come to the point of Vedanta. They never know things as they are, because they are simply speculating. But we Vedic scientists, we can immediately know things as they are, simply by hearing from the supreme scientist. Who is that? Lord Shri Krishna. He is the supreme scientist. He must be the supreme scientist because he invented everything. Everything you see is the invention of Shri Krishna. In America, they are very proud of their Thomas Edison, because he invented so many things. They're saying, well, the telephone, this thing, that thing, so many inventions. They have named the power company in New York City Con Edison, Consolidated Edison, after Edison. But they do not see who is the inventor who has given us everything. He has even given us the intelligence how to make these material inventions, the fan, the electric light bulb. Why do they not give credit to the supreme inventor, Krishna, who's given us our very bodies, who's given us our eyes, our ears, our tongue, our nose, everything. Why they don't give credit to that supreme invention? You see, because they are trying to steal the credit. Just like actually one Indian invented the radio. But this Italian Marconi, he stole the idea and took credit. That I have invented the radio, you see. So they simply want to steal the credit. The apples have been falling from the apple trees for millions of years, but Newton, he observes it and he called, wants to call it Newton's law of gravity. You see? So in this way, they want to take credit for that which is already invented by God. You see? This is cheating business. If something belongs to you and someone comes and they claim it's their property, are they not a thief? You see? So, this is simply thieving business going on. We are laughing, but actually, we are also thieves. Do you know what is the meaning of your body? Do you know what is the meaning of your material body composed of blood and mucus and bone and so many things? What is the meaning? Sometimes when we are traveling around the world, we see they will bring the inmates from the jail and they will bring them out on the roadway to do some road work. They have on their prison uniforms with the stripes and they have the chains. They do give some practical work. So we see how the inmates, they wear a uniform to show what? That they are inmates. So if they try to run for it, it'll be very difficult, you see, because everyone sees here is a convict. They can immediately call the police. There is an escaped convict on the loose. Come and get him, you see. So, that uniform shows they are inmate of the prison. So did you know that right now you're wearing a prison uniform? This material body is proof that we are rascals. You see, the pure living entities in the spiritual world who do not rebel against the supremacy of God, they don't have bodies like this. They have bodies composed of Satchitananda Vigra. They have bodies composed of eternity, knowledge and bliss. Their bodies don't get old, they don't get sick, they don't go deaf. They don't go blind, you see. These are the spiritual bodies. So, we have this material body is proof that we are rascals. Therefore, we are here in this material existence to become what? Become reformed. This is a reformatory. It is a place of reformation. Did you know that you were an inmate in a prison? Did you know that? I'm talking to you. Did you know that you were an inmate in a prison? Did you have any idea of that? No? No. We don't realize it. We think, now I'm here in this place. I am the Lord. I will enjoy, you see. Yes, I am the star of the show. And you are all my supporting actors, you see. You see? Everyone thinks the universe revolves around them. I am the center of enjoyment. But no matter how hard we try to enjoy, no matter how much we try to enjoy, we cannot enjoy. Because the actual position of the living entity is, he is not Purusha. He is not enjoyer, he is prakriti. He is enjoyed. He is meant, or she is meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. You may say, but that's not fair. I want to enjoy. Why I should just serve someone else's enjoyment? I want to be the enjoyer. You see? Well, the good news is that if we serve the enjoyment of Krishna, then we enjoy on the same level with Krishna. But the difficulty is, instead of waking up to this wonderful consciousness, Krishna consciousness, we prefer to do what? Sleep in the lap of the witch Maya. Because Maya keeps telling us, my dear boy, my dear girl, you come here, lay your head in my lap. I will make you the enjoyer. Don't listen to Krishna. Don't listen to Guru. Don't listen to Vaishnavas. Simply lay your head in my lap and I will make you the supreme enjoyer. Do you think Maya is telling us the truth? Or do you think she's deceiving us? She is very expert at deceit. Maya Devi is deceiving us. Why? Because we want to be deceived. There's a very nice example. The little child wants to enjoy the moon. The little child wants to possess the moon. The child looks out the window and sees the moon in the sky. And she says, my dear mother, give me, I want that. How can a mother give the child the moon? Is that possible? Not possible. But you mothers, don't you like to make your children happy and give them what they want? You see? So the mother is thinking, how can I satisfy my little daughter? She wants the moon. I cannot give the moon. I don't possess it. But somehow, I want to satisfy my daughter. So the mother gets a very bright idea. She brings one mirror and she holds the mirror in such a way and puts it in the daughter's hand that when the daughter looks in her hand at the mirror, she sees, ah, I have the moon. It is now mine. You see? So Maya is there to give us the illusion that we are the enjoyers. To give us that illusion. But Lord Chaitanya, he is coming. On the other hand, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gora Chandra Bole. See, Gora Chandra, he is chanting, wake up, wake up, wake up, you living entities. It's like even when we give the class, sometimes we see devotees, they close their eyes and they just go drifting off, you see. Because that pull of the lower modes of nature is there. Tama gun. If we actually want to come to the transcendental platform, we must fight off that tamagun nature, which is pulling us into forgetfulness, pulling us into sleep. The problem is, we are addicted to that tamagun. We think, sweet sleep. You see. But actually, the advanced transcendentalists, they do not want to sleep. Actually, Prabhupada explained, I described how the six Goswamis, they were always doing kirtan. Krishna kirtana ganano taropru. In this way, it's described. Prabhupada explains that actually everything is kirtan. Kirtan is kirtan. Preaching is kirtan. Hearing Krishna consciousness is kirtan. Reading is kirtan. Writing is kirtan. He said, taking prasadam is kirtan. He said, everything is kirtan except for one thing, and what is that? Sleep. He said, that is waste. Of course, taking the sleep we need so we can keep doing kirtan, that is good. So we should be careful not to sleep more than is required. Not to sleep at the inappropriate times, like when there's a class going on. You see? Can always sleep later on, can lay down and have a good nap. But when there is Krishna Katha going on, we should always remember that Acharya of Krishna Katha. What is his name? Of hearing, the Acharya of hearing? Who is that? Parikshit Maharaj. You see? How keenly he was hearing. For 7 days, non-stop. He didn't take any nap, he didn't take any prasadam break. He just sat there and heard with rapt attention, why? The snake bird is coming in 7 days to bite me and kill me. Therefore, I must become fixed in Krishna consciousness. Of course, we have longer to live than that, don't we? We're sure of that, right? I'm testing you now. We're sure we're going to live much longer than 7 days, right? Are you sure you can live much longer than 7 days? That's right. That's right. We don't even know that we can live for 7 more minutes. My godbrother, Gaur Govinda Swami, he was giving Prabhachan in Mayapur and he had some stroke or some, I don't know what happened. He was giving a class and he died. While he was giving, something happened and he died. While giving a class. Can you imagine? What a way to go. When you're giving, glorifying Sri Krishna, talking about going back to Godhead, and all of a sudden, whammo, you drop dead. That'd be a great way to go. Right in the middle of intense Krishna Katha. So anyway, we don't know. You're right. We have no guarantee that we'll live for 7 more minutes. So therefore, we must practice the art of always being fixed in Krishna consciousness. So what does it mean to be Krishna conscious? Does it mean to put tilak on your nose? Neck beads around your neck? Anybody can do that. Even in Hollywood sometimes, the actors, they have someone dress up like a devotee. Shaved his head, puts tilak. Actually, there's one story. In Miami, Florida, many drug smugglers, they want to bring the cocaine in from South America, you see. Yeah, I think you already guessed what's going to happen. So anyway, one drug smuggler, he thought, I know how I'll get through customs and they won't suspect me. I will dress up as a Hare Krishna. So he shaved his head, a sika, saffron, tilak, neck beads, everything. The full Hare Krishna uniform. And he comes through customs with his suitcase full of cocaine, thinking they won't touch me because I am a devotee. But there was only one problem. He wasn't really a devotee. Prabhupada notes that the devotees, they have a special quality, and what is that? Bright-faced. One Christian priest, he said, Swamiji, how is that your disciples are also bright-faced? Is it? So, they had seen many Hare Krishna. We have a nice temple in Miami. So they were used to seeing real Hare Krishna devotees. How bright-faced they are. So this one looked a little strange. He had tilak, he had neck beads, but he wasn't shiny. He didn't have that effulgence of a Hare Krishna devotee. So they said, let's see your suitcase. And they caught him, you know. You didn't look like a Hare Krishna devotee because you didn't have that bright face, you see. So, the actual symptom of one who is advancing in Krishna consciousness is they become very, very bright-faced. You see. And just by seeing such a devotee, you become enlivened and happy, you see. It is an inspiration to see someone who is fixed in Krishna consciousness. They are effulgent, they are emanating Krishna consciousness. So, we had that experience from one great Vaishnava, the greatest Vaishnava, His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Asta Tarasadashi Srimad, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. we had the experience of such a great effulgent Vaishnava. How just by being in His presence, we could feel that we are not in this material world. The pure devotee carries Vrindavan with him wherever he goes. Just as Krishna, it is stated, Vrindavanam parityaja napada ekam gacchati. You know the Sanskrit? Krishna never sets one foot outside of Vrindavan. It's very simple Sanskrit. Vrindavanam, that we know. Parityaja, just like we say, sarvadharman parityaja. Parityaja means give up, you see. Give up all other duties. Sarvadharman parityaja, the same word, parityaja. Vrindavanam parityaja, giving up Vrindavan, you see. Or leaving Vrindavan, same thing. Leaving Vrindavan, Vrindavanam parityaja, na, not, pada, step, eka, one, you see. Vrindavanam parityaja, napada ekam gacchati, he goes. So Krishna does not even go one step, not even ekapada, even one step outside of Vrindavan. You see. So that is true not only of Sri Krishna, that is true also of the spiritual master. And the spiritual master, he is always living in Sri Vrindavan Dham. We saw this in Srila Prabhupada. Wherever he would go, he would carry Vrindavan with him. And just by coming in contact with him, we could feel, yes, now I am in the spiritual world. Just by being in the presence of this great enlightened soul. So, it is very good program that you're doing here. Bhakta Vriksha. You are understanding the importance of cultivating Krishna consciousness. Of course, we do not say it is wrong for your material success. You're doing your worldly activities. The train, after all, runs on two tracks. You see, it is two rails on the track. So, at the same time that we do our material duties, earning livelihood or getting our education for future livelihood, we must offer that in the service of Krishna. This is confirmed in Sri Ishopanishad. Vidyam cha vidyam cha yastad vedo bhyam saha avidyayam ritam tirtva vinyaram ritam ashnate. Only that person who simultaneously cultivates nescience and transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and do what? Attain the full blessings of immortality. So the default position is nescience. We're already doing that. We don't have to worry, well, I got to make sure to cultivate nescience. No, that's already happening. We've been trained in nescience from the first day we were born here in this world. All the activities of the material body, how to keep body and soul together. That is the side of nescience. So that has to be done. But along with that, we have to cultivate transcendental knowledge. I'm not the body, I'm the eternal spirit soul. I'm not male, I'm not female. You see? I'm Krishna's eternal servant. I must learn how to become purely and fully absorbed in His devotional service. So both things have to be there. And then we will actually transcend, as the Ishopanishad tells us. We will in fact transcend the cycle of birth and death and achieve the full blessings of immortality. So it is very good that along with the nescience, your engineering career or your computer programming career or your bottle washer career, whatever you're doing, Prime Minister, I don't know, do we have the Prime Minister, is the Prime Minister here today? No. Whatever your career is, they should be. The Prime Minister must come and learn and join the Bhakta Vriksha. In Australia, we get over this drought. So, it is very good that you're doing this. This is ideal example. Yad yad acharati shrestas tat tat eve tarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokastad nivartate. Whatever standard a great man sets by his example, all the world pursues. So, you are all the great men and women, you see. By taking this pathway of Krishna bhakti, you are showing the world what is the ideal lifestyle, what is the perfection of existence. By this example, you should become very, very fixed in Krishna consciousness. You should become free of any doubts, asangshayaha, you see, completely free of doubts. So, as the girl asked me in class today, or yesterday, how do we convince others? Simply, it is a matter of our own conviction, you see. How much you are convinced of Krishna consciousness. To the extent that we are convinced, beyond any shadow of a doubt, to that extent, we will have shakti, we will have potency for convincing others. So, if we want to be happy, and if we want to see that the people of Australia can become happy, then we must become fully and totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day, in all times, all places, in all circumstances, with every thought, with every word that comes out of our mouth, and with every deed we perform with this material body. If we do this, then this movement will spread like wildfire. The whole world will join this movement. We simply have to become very, very, very strong in our conviction. Fully and totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness, 24 hours, 24/7. So, we can ask now if there's some questions. Yeah.
In Krishna consciousness, we understand that Varnashram is a secondary, which purifies us to take us to the platform of Krishna consciousness. But I read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Narad Muni is talking to the son of Daksha, and he gives allegoric understanding of what is the purpose of life, and they renounce life and they become Paramahamsa. But their father desires that they should become a grihastha and give the progeny. So, if they had followed the Varnashram and simultaneously became a devotee, they could have fulfilled the desire of father as well as Narad Muni. So, what was the reason they remained a celibate and they did not follow their father's
instructions? We have a very simple principle in the Krishna consciousness movement. One should accept whatever is favorable for one's Krishna consciousness, and one should also reject whatever is unfavorable. But it is also stated, one man's food is another man's poison. Just because one man is immediately taken to sannyas life, because that was the most favorable for his Krishna consciousness, that doesn't mean that for another man, that is the most favorable thing. That is up to the spiritual master to study the heart of his disciple. And to understand what is the need. You see, the Guru Maharaj, he takes the responsibility to deliver you back to home, back to Godhead. So it's the spiritual master does not take the disciples for the sake of prestige, that I have so many disciples, I'm a big guru. No. He does it as a sincere service to save the conditioned souls from the repetition of birth and death. So it's also stated that he has to stay in this material world until all of his disciples go back to Godhead. So it's in his self-interest to make sure you get out of here as soon as possible. So the spiritual master will study the heart of his disciple, and he will see what is the best way for this person to get out of this material quagmire as soon as possible. For one person, it may be better he remain as householder and purify himself in that ashram. For another, it may be brahmacharya or sannyas life, you see. So that is up to the determination of the spiritual master. It's not that one is necessarily better than the other one. What is most conducive for Krishna consciousness? Krishna consciousness is transcendental to this ashram and that ashram. Ashram is an external consideration. We are simply interested in pure Krishna bhakti. One can be a pure devotee of Krishna in any ashram. So we simply fully surrender ourselves at the lotus feet of our spiritual master. And we take whatever pathway he instructs us to take. And that is perfection. Whether that's grihastha life or sannyas life, we simply leave that up to our spiritual master. That's all. And then we become perfect. Did that answer your question? Or do you still have something unanswered?
What I understand is broadly Narada Muni thought that it is best for them to remain celibate.
That's right. Narada Muni is a purely enlightened soul. He knew that for these particular individuals, this is the best thing for them to get out of here as soon as possible. That's right. For others, he may instruct in a different way. Krishna conscious preaching is not stereotyped that you must be sannyasi. You see. That okay, all now you men, and we see men and women here now, all you men, you become sannyasi. We have saffron robes in the next room. Everybody come to the other room and put on saffron and that's it. We're giving sannyas initiation to all the men. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. Your sannyas is to remain in household life and make it a ashram. That is your sannyas. That is your renunciation. You strictly follow the regulated principles. No illicit sex. Actually, a Krishna conscious householder, Prabhupada said, the grihastha, the Krishna conscious grihastha, he is Paramahamsa. Prabhupada said that. He said, they are Paramahamsa. They are the highest level of sannyas. They are living with wife, but they are not having illicit sex. That is Paramahamsa. Prabhupada certified, they are Paramahamsa. So, next question. Yes.
Many times the consciousness tells us, the mind tells that, you know, there is no hurry to chant 16 rounds after all we are doing. So
the mind says there is no?
There is no. Why to be in a hurry to go to 16 rounds? Why to be in a hurry to go to 16 rounds?
Why we should be in a hurry?
Yeah. Huh. To go to 16 rounds. After all, let us go gradually. Still there is a lot of time. And then even after 16 rounds, sometimes huge amount of time is gone by the time one surrenders to a living spiritual master.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do we understand this?
Yes, it is foolishness, actually. When I started this Krishna consciousness process, the first day I chanted 16 rounds. I mean, it's better they come gradually and they don't come at all, but actually, if anybody has any intelligence, just like my godbrother Dhananjaya Prabhu, he had just joined, he was coming, perhaps his first class with Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, are there any questions? His question was, how soon can I get initiated? You see? Actually, anyone who has any brain, they will understand, I must get initiated as soon as possible. I shouldn't postpone this. I can die at any second, therefore I must beg for diksha as soon as possible. Initiate me right now if you will. You see, that should be the move. I want to be initiated today. But in ISKCON there's some waiting period. We don't want to take unqualified disciples because the gurus will become overburdened with sinful reactions of their disciples. You see. So for the sake of the guru doesn't have to suffer so much sinful reaction, there's some waiting period. But we're not encouraging you to go slowly. That's to protect the guru from having overburdened with of his unqualified disciple. But from the disciple side, you should be very aggressive and eager. I'll take initiation as soon as possible. You should be chanting 16 rounds, following the principles, get initiated yesterday if possible. You see? That's how urgent you should feel about it. it should be a great urgency. I must get initiated as soon as possible. Otherwise, what is my position? I don't have a guru. I'm like, Prabhupada says there are two types in India, there are two types of dog, stannatta and annatta. Mm-hmm. So we all know the annatta dogs, the street dogs. Oh, it's horrible. In India, especially Vrindavan, those street dogs, they're the most ugly. They have wounds all over their body from other dogs biting them, and their hair is falling out with mange. They have skin disease, they're skinny. They're the most paranoid, frightful, horrible looking little creatures, the street dog. But stannatta, with master, you see. We've seen on Juhu Beach, when the wealthy businessmen, they go for their morning walk, they bring their dog. And those dogs who have masters, their head is very high, they're stout and strong, you see, walking very proudly down the beach with their master. Yes, I am great, you see. No one can mess with those dogs, you see, because they have master. So, our position without guru is very precarious. But if we have guru, then we are on the safe side. So everyone must, as soon as possible, become very, very serious to take the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. As quickly as the ISKCON authorities will let you do it, as quickly as possible. Follow the system set up within ISKCON, but try to go through that system as fast as you possibly can. It's urgent. It's a very urgent situation, being in this material existence. Questions, Mark? Yeah.
One more question. How does one understand that one has found one's guru?
Yes, it's very simple. Srila Prabhupada explained that you do not have to, when you're ready for guru, you do not have to seek out guru. When you're actually ready for guru, the guru will come to you. And if you're actually serious, you're in your heart, Krishna will say, okay, here he is. This is him. This is, you've just met your spiritual master. Now surrender. If you're sincere to find guru, Krishna will send guru to you and he will tell you, here he is. You see, it's a simple thing. You simply have to be sincere to fully surrender to God. And then he will send the guru to you and he will tell you, here is your spiritual master, now surrender to him. Simple thing. Not complicated. Sometimes we think, well, it's so complicated, you know, it used to be so simple, there was Prabhupada, and now it's like a big shopping mall, you know. Which store will I go into? You know, you got Jayapataka, Gopal Krishna, you know, Radhanath and Swami, it's just, you know, so many, it's a huge Burijana, you know, it's huge shopping mall. So what do I do, you know? No, just be sincere and Krishna will take you to the right shop, you know. Just be sincere. All right, here Krishna, here I am, now I'm just ready. Take me to the right place. And he will. This is the one that's your guru. All you have to do is be sincere. Tesham satatam yutanam bhajatam priti purivakam. Tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upiyantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding who their guru is. You see? You just have to be sincere and Krishna will tell you who your guru is. That's all. It's not difficult. Simply, the only problem is we lack sincerity. That's the problem. We can't say, well, it's ISKCON's fault because there's so many gurus now. And it's hard to choose. No. You can't blame ISKCON for your reluctance to surrender. Oh, there's so many gurus and I can't really make up my mind. No. It's our own lack of sincerity that's holding us back. It's not the multiplicity of gurus that's holding us back. It's our own lack of sincerity. So we simply have to kick out that insincerity and then there will be no obstacle. Krishna will reveal everything. Here's your guru, now surrender to him. Questions, Mark? Yes.
What is the message for the householders who's practicing the Krishna consciousness and doing 16 rounds and if they have taken a shelter of a guru, what else they can do?
You simply have to Now you have taken shelter of Guru, you're preparing yourself for initiation. That's very good. So now you have to, the duty of the disciple, whether formally initiated or sheltered, is the same position. Because, practically speaking, you've already accepted him as Guru. So the principle is the same. Simply it is lacking the formal ceremony, that's all. But the mood is the same. Now I have taken shelter of such and such Guru Maharaj. So now I have to find out what he wants me to do. The position of the disciple is they should always meditate on the instructions of their spiritual master. They should worship, not only meditate, but they must worship the instructions of their spiritual master and try to find out the ways and means to successfully execute the instructions of their spiritual master. So you have to find out from your Guru Maharaj, "My dear Guru Maharaj, I am now taking shelter of you as my spiritual master. You kindly tell me, you instruct me what you want me to do. I have nothing to do in life except to meditate on your order and worship your order and execute your order. Those are my three activities. Meditate on, worship, and execute the instructions of Guru. That's all the business you have. Meditate, worship, and execute. M-W-E. It's an acronym, you see. M-W-E. Meditate, worship, and execute. You find out what the instruction is, you meditate on it, worship it, and execute it. You could even, I mean, it's almost like you could offer an arti, but, you know, the order of your Guru Maharaj. I'm not saying literally, but figuratively. You're worshipping his order. Prabhupada worshipped the order he received from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Spread Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. That order became his life and soul. So whatever instruction Guru Maharaj has given you, that, whether it's personally or it's a general instruction he's given to all of his disciples, it's the same thing. A general instruction is just as personal as a personal instruction. So by hearing his lectures and reading his written words, you can see so many instructions he is giving to his disciples. Of course, personal ones are also very nice, if you can get those. You should always try. Do whatever you can to get individual instructions too. Those are extra, that's like the glob jam at the end of the feast, you know, special sweets. But the main diet is those general instructions he's giving in his lectures, his writings, etc. So you have to find out what instructions is Guru Maharaj giving, and you have to simply meditate, worship, and execute them. That's all. That's your life and soul. That will carry you beyond the cycle of birth and back, death, back to the eternal abode of Lord Sri Krishna. Next question. Yes.
Prabhu, we say that all the yugas, like the Satyayuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Kali Yuga, are all actually the leelas of the Lord.
Yes. It's the Lord's arrangement, yes.
The Lord's arrangement. So, I mean, how can we say that this Kali Yuga, I mean, people are going to docks? Because it's also a part of the Leela of the Lord, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, if we...
So, you want to blame Krishna for being in Maya?
Not blame Krishna. I mean, this is part
because
of
he is the one who's... He is the one who set up the yugas like this. So, it's really Krishna's fault that I'm in Maya. Is that what you want to say?
No. We taking to Krishna consciousness or not? I mean, that's also pre-decided by the Lord, right?
I mean, No. Krishna gives you the free will to love him or leave him. Whether you come to Krishna consciousness or whether you don't come to Krishna consciousness, that's up to you. Krishna gives you other things, that is all destiny, you see. Where you will live, you know, who your wife will, you know, all these things. Your fortune and misfortune in this material world, that is all karmic. That is all predestined by your previous action. But whether or not you take to Krishna consciousness, that means, Krishna consciousness means whether you're going to stay in karma chakra or come out of karma chakra. Will you stay on the, what is it? the conveyor belt of destiny? Or will you come off of that conveyor belt and create your own destiny by surrendering to Krishna? So that is nothing to do. Someone says, well, I'll become a devotee when my karma is to become a devotee. No, your karma is, you'll never become a devotee by karma. Karma, chakra will keep you. That is why it is called nitya badha. One who is entangled in karma, chakra, they are nitya badha, eternally conditioned. That is up to you. When you will come out of this karma, chakra, and come to the liberated position, that is up to you. And you can choose that at any second. You don't have to wait for your karma to allow you to do that. Karma will never allow you to do that. What you really, all you need to do that is Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. That living entity who is caught up in karma chakra, wandering all over the universe, sometimes to higher planets, sometimes to lower planets. That one living entity, Kono Bhagyavan Jeev, one living entity who is very fortunate, he comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master. You see. And by Krishna's grace, he comes in contact with Guru. And then by the combined grace of Guru and Krishna, what does he get? Bhakti Lata Bij. He gets the seed of bhakti planted in his heart. Now if he will water that seed by regularly chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and weed the garden of the heart by avoiding illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication and gambling, and build a very strong fence around his garden so that the mad elephant of Vaishnava Aparad does not enter into the garden. Then that little seed of bhakti will grow into a creeper which will gradually penetrate the coverings of this material universe. It will traverse the vast spiritual sky. It will go all the way to Goloka Vrindavan, where it will enwrap itself around the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna and Radha Krishna. And at that point, the full-blown fruit of love of God will grow, will become ripened. So that's up to you. But it can only happen if you come in contact with a bona fide guru. Otherwise, you remain helplessly lost. But if you come in contact with a bona fide guru, then you have the choice to take advantage of that seed of bhakti that is implanted in your heart by watering it through this chanting process of Krishna consciousness. If you, after meeting guru, you have the opportunity now to, on your own choice, have nothing to do with karma, on your own choice, take up the path of Krishna bhakti. And if you do that, your liberation is guaranteed. In fact, you're already, one who seriously takes up the pathway of Krishna bhakti, he is already situated beyond moksha. Moksha is nothing for him. He is already living in the spiritual existence, even while within this material body.
Like we being born in this Kali Yuga itself is part of the Leela, or is...
This Kali Yuga is a special... There is very special Leela, this Kali Yuga. Lord Chaitanya comes, you see. Actually, those who are highly intelligent, they worship this Kali Yuga as the best of all yugas. Because in this age, it is very, very easy to become spiritually enlightened and go back to Godhead. This age of Kali is a special benediction of Krishna. In the other yugas, the material nature was there, but it was a very subtle distinction between pure bhakti and, you know, varna, this thing and that thing. But in this age, it's a very clear black and white. The material world is so bad now that it's very easy to distinguish between divine and demoniac. It becomes a little more difficult in the previous ages to distinguish, because the material world was so pious in former ages. It was such a pious place. It's much more easy to make the distinction between good and bad in the age of Kali, because it's gotten so bad. So this is actually a very wonderful age for spiritual enlightenment. Any other question? Yes.
Ramaji, now we started our lecture with the limitations of the modern day scientists. They come with some theory and after some time some other theory comes and replaces the previous one.
So what is it saying?
He's saying we started the lecture with the limitation of the scientists.
Yes.
One theory comes in and another comes in.
Yes.
Take an example. For example, these modern-day scientists, they try to find the origin of the universe with Big Bang theory.
They try to do what?
Find the origin of the universe.
The origin of the universe. Okay, we already know that. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so Big Bang theory and that stuff.
You're right.
The book Stephen Hawking's.
The Big Bluff theory. Okay, go ahead.
The thing is, it's all circus, we know, because they just try to come with some equations. They have some facts, they do some equation, and they self-justify their own, because there is no one to refute that.
Whoever can come up with the most sophisticated bluff is considered to be the leading scientist of the day. Yes.
Yes. But the thing is, say for example, from third canto of Bhagavatam, we know, like gravitation, it's Brahma Jyoti, which intacts all the planets.
Yes, yes.
If you talk to these people who don't know, who are not convinced about Krishna consciousness, who don't have any faith in this, in our philosophy, so it becomes difficult to convince them with, just because it's stated in Bhagavad Gita. Or
no, first convince them they don't know what they're talking about. Prabhupada said, ask them what is their philosophy and then defeat it. You must first convince them they don't know what they're talking about and they're just bluffing and cheating. That you first convince them. The best defense is a good offense. Mm-hmm. You heard that saying? The best defense is a good offense. So, you have to go on the offensive against them. You have to smash them and defeat them. And make them humble by totally defeating them. And then, after they've been completely defeated and smashed, and they have not a philosophical leg to stand on, then they might be willing to hear.
So then, again, it comes down to the point of how authoritative our sources are, what they think.
How?
Authoritative sources are, like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes, Krishna is the... We have the authority. There is no question. The supreme authority is Lord Sri Krishna, because everything emanates from Him. There is no bigger authority than Sri Krishna. And when Sri Krishna explains the reality, there is no greater authoritative statement than that.
That's for devotees, we know that. But no. Why would they understand this?
For everyone. Whether they believe it or not, that's another matter. The sun is shining in the sky, even for the owls who refuse to see it by keeping their eyes tightly closed shut. You try to convince the owl, my dear Mr. Owl, my dear Dr. Owl, there's a wonderful thing called the sunshine. Open your eyes and look at it. It's right in front of you. No, but he keeps his eyes closed shut. He said, no, I don't believe there's any such thing as sunshine. Whenever I open my eyes, I always see that it's dark. So what you're saying is not true. So the owl, he keeps his eyes closed. So if they want to keep their eyes closed, that is their problem. What can I say? If they will open their eyes, then we can show them Krishna immediately.
So
they don't want to see.
So the point is this, he's asking that how you can convince those owls.
You have to convince yourself first. You have to, that is the key. If you can completely drive all of the owl tendencies out of your own heart, you can convince so many owls. You have to see what are your own doubts and you have to defeat them. You have to study these books and study these books and study these books, and gradually, gradually, gradually you'll become more empowered where you can deliver the whole world. And you have to become very pure. How did Prabhupada convince so many people? He was totally pure. Prabhupada actually told us, he said that if a devotee can chant the holy name of the Lord without offense, he can convince the whole world to chant Hare Krishna. He will convince the whole world to chant Hare Krishna. So, the biggest impediment is our own impurities, actually. Our own lack of faith. You have to increase your own conviction. And then you'll be able to convince anyone and everyone of this philosophy. That's a fact. You simply have to increase your own conviction.
Is it a gradual process or we need to work on something? Is it a gradual process or...
What's the process?
Is it a gradual process?
Yes, but don't make it any more gradual than it has to be. You must take it with the matter of the utmost urgency. You must beg Krishna, my dear Lord, please empower me that I can fully surrender to you right now. You must keep begging it every minute. Gradual, we admit, but you shouldn't say, well, it's gradual, so next year I'll get serious about it. Of course, that's tomorrow. Now, gradual means it takes time, but you have to try for the topmost purity right now. At every second, you should beg my dear Lord Krishna, please save me. Let me become fully 100% absorbed in a high to key bhakti, pure devotional service without any motive. You have to push yourself to become a pure devotee right now. Yeah, take it easy. Like in Mexico, they have a saying, poco a poco. Little by little, you know. Little by little. Gradually, gradually, slowly, slowly. We invite people to come to the temple. He says, yes, someday I will come to your temple. And Krishna wants me to come. Actually, Krishna wants him to come right now. But they're thinking, yes, someday I will come to the temple.
Time for us to come to that level.
Yes, that's right. It will take time, but it doesn't have to. You know the story of Khatvanga Maharaj? Maharaj Khatvanga? Yeah. Anyone know that Maharaj Khatvanga? Leela? Yes. It is described, Maharaj Khatvanga, he was earthly king. He was very powerful king. So, the demigods, they were being attacked by the demons in the heavenly planets, and they could not repel the attack of the demon. So they begged that Khatvanga Maharaj, you come and fight for us. We are in great difficulty. The demons are taking over the heavenly kingdom. Please, Khatvanga Maharaj, you come and fight it to defeat these demons. And he went to the heavenly kingdom. And he fought for many, many, many long years with great energy, great intelligence, with great determination, with great enthusiasm. And he defeated the demons. So, the demigods who have all kinds of powers, they were so pleased with Khatvanga Maharaj, said, any benediction you would like that was within our power, we will give you. What do you want? And you can imagine if all the demigods are offering you anything you could want, you could think, wow, I could use this, that, so many things, you know? But he was very intelligent. He said, just tell me how much longer I will live. And they said, oh, they know past, present, and future. They said, actually, Maharaj, your death is just now coming. Ek minute. In 1 minute, you're dying. He said, thank you very much. And he fully surrendered to Lord Krishna. Every, just purely and totally absorbed himself in Krishna consciousness and achieved perfection within 1 minute. So, You have to strive for that complete perfection. Actually, Prabhupada ordered me. I was directly instructed by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. Prabhupada told me to become free of all material desires. No sex desire, no desire for jnana, no desire for karma, no desire for yoga. All material desires, zero, Prabhupada told me. And then he challenged me. He said, whether you can be like that. So, we are meant to come to that position. Ahai taki apratiyata yayatma supersedati. Why? You can't even be satisfied unless you're fully surrendered to Krishna. The only way you can become completely 100% happy is to be 100% fully surrendered to Krishna. There will always be dissatisfaction in your heart if you're holding on to any material desires. Even the most subtle of material desires are like sand in the sweet rice. I give you a nice cup of sweet rice and you find out there's sand in the bottom. It spoils it. It may be the best sweet rice with the nicest milk straight from the cow, but the sweet rice spoils it. I mean, the sand spoils it, not the sweet rice. So, if we have any material desire, even the most subtle material desire, it spoils about Krishna Bhakti. It spoils it. It contaminates it. So we have to become completely pure. We have to strive for that. As Prabhupada told me, all material desires, zero. Not, you know, 0.0001%. No. 0.00000000 material desire. That's the position we have to come to. And we should push ourselves at every minute.
When we say akam sarva kama moksha kama dara,
yeah. We do say that, that's right. But what is the preferred position? Akam, sarva kama, moksha kama. What is preferred position? Akam? Akam, that's right. Akama, sarva kama. Akam is first mentioned. The first one mentioned is akam, no material desire. All material desire is zero. That is preferred. That is the first option. It's interesting, the second option is sarvakam, and the third option is mokshakam. It's interesting that sarvakam is mentioned before, whether it's by poetry or priority, I can't say, but it's interesting that sarvakam is mentioned before mokshakam. Because actually mokshakam is a very bad position, because even after you get moksha, you have to come back to the point of sarvakam to get to the point of akam. You cannot go to akam from mokshakam. The one who achieves brahmajyoti, he cannot go from there to Goloka Vrindavan. He has to come down again to material sense gratification. So sarvakam is better than mokshakam in that sense. Of course, the real position is akam. That is Krishna consciousness, akam. So, we can stop here. We thank you all very much for your nice, so nicely hearing today. You've been a very good audience. Thank you very much for so nicely hearing. Anyone who would like to correspond with me directly, my email address is pretty easy to remember, SDA, Sankarshan Das Adhikari, SDA, @backtohome.com. So if I can be of a service to you to help you go back to home, just send an email with your questions to SDA@backtohome.com. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.